Hello and welcome to the live promo marketing webinar, Significantly Increase Your Business in 2013 with a Winning Sales Plan, sponsored by Halo Branded Solutions. I'm Nicole Stella, Vice President of the Promo Marketing Group and the host of today's event. Before we get started, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in to us at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the widgets and bells and whistles on the console. This is especially important for this webinar and for all webinars that we host so that you can access everything. And speaking of bells and whistles, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget to learn about all the things that the console can do and how you can customize your experience today. Here to help you significantly increase your sales and get 2013 off to a great start is Dale Limes, Senior Vice President of Sales at Halo Branded Solutions. Dale is an industry veteran of 27 years, a frequent trainer at industry events, and consults with distributors at every level to help increase sales and efficiency. Dale and Halo are committed to helping industry salespeople by openly sharing top producer sales secrets for professional betterment of our industry. And to that end, Dale is also a feature blogger on promomarketing.com, so be sure to log in each week so that you can catch Dale's Friday sales thoughts of the week. Dale, are you ready to get started?
Nikki, I sure am, and thank you very much for introducing me, and thank you, Promo Marketing, for hosting this event today. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here with all of you today. You may wonder, you know, a little bit about my experience and why we're doing this. I've had the very fortunate and unique opportunity to work with many, many top professionals over my 27 years, top salespeople. And what I've decided to do to give back to the industry is impart some of their wisdom, thoughts, and ideas that help them really succeed each year, and do that in the spirit of the entire industry being a little bit better. So that's the reason for this, and my goal and hope for you today is that you'll pick up two or three or four different nuggets from this session that you can take into your business plan for 2013, and hopefully that will increase your sales, as the topic says, and help you with a more successful business plan for the year. So let's talk about what we're going to discuss today. First of all, we're going to talk about preparing your mind and a business plan to reach your goals in 2013. That's what we all want to do starting out a new year, and so the timing is right for this type of a presentation. We want to understand a little bit about how our business has changed and what to do about it. I'll also get into how to build a successful business plan, what causes some to succeed and why others don't succeed, and how to make a top business plan for either your distributorship if you're an owner, or if you're a salesperson, how to implement a good business plan for yourself. And finally, the real key nuggets that you'll get out of this will be some of the tools and methods and strategies that top producers put into their business plan every year. So let's go ahead and get started. First of all, I would just like to point out, this is something I believe in completely, and all of our sales force knows it for sure, and that is that in order to reach the end number on 12/31/2013, you need to be sure what that number is and visualize it and own it. I know you've all heard that 100 times before, but it's so important, and I believe visualizing the end result is the way to get there. If you want to have a pen handy, I'll let you know that a very good read for you the first quarter of this year, I'd get it if you don't have it already, is Wayne Dyer's You Will See It When You Believe It. And Wayne Dyer is a great trainer and philosopher, and talks about how to visualize that goal and how that can help you actually get there. So if you don't know what your number is on 12/31/13, figure out what that number is now. That's your end sales number, gross margin goal, whatever it is that you shoot for, and plan it, visualize it, and completely own it. The way to get there is certainly through a goal sheet. And up on your screen now is a goal sheet that we use, which has all of the tracking mechanisms put into it. When we send our goal sheets out, it has the previous year's weekly sales already plugged in. And what's beneficial, why that is so beneficial is it helps you to be able to look forward and see if you've had a really big week in the coming weeks, and if you had an average week this particular week, you can plan for where your sales activity will be. So, in other words, if you had a really big February, it's important to look ahead and know you had a huge February so it doesn't catch up on you give you a reason to wonder why you're not reaching your goals. Monthly goals are important. Weekly goals are important. And finally, that end-of-the-year goal is important. So there are many goal planner sheets that you can research and find. You can Google goal planner sheets, sales goal planner sheets, and there are many versions out there. If somebody's interested in this one, I'd be happy to get it to them as well. Let's look at 2012. What has actually happened through 2012 and where that's going to take us in 2013 as we get started. For most, it was certainly a better year. We were coming off of a lengthy recession. I think you would all agree with that. But 2012 was quite a rebound. Credit lines were still tight, however, so if you're a distributor owner or even for the suppliers, credit lines were still tight. I think they still are today. A lot of painful decisions were made throughout 2012 in order to stay profitable. There were many businesses who maybe right-sized their companies or downsized staff, maybe moved into a smaller office. We're seeing a rebound, though, so I believe businesses have stabilized now, and hopefully the profit sheet is, the P&L is looking pretty strong for most businesses today. Consolidation has continued on both the supplier and distributor side. And new marketing strategies were needed to stay ahead. Some companies got into e-commerce on their own. While there have been standalone e-commerce companies, some implemented e-commerce strategies on their own. Some companies moved into many solutions with social media and implemented that in their business plans. But new marketing strategies were really needed to stay ahead, and I think companies have done a very good job of that. For suppliers, on that side of the coin, certainly inventory levels were an issue through 2010, 2011. We saw that stabilize in 2012. I don't think suppliers ordered in a ton of product in the beginning of the year, but throughout the rest of 2012, I think that they ramped up because the economy looked a lot better. There were a lot of uncertainties in overseas manufacturing. A lot of issues going on in China that remain today with staffing and factories and so forth, and that continues as well. Several safety violations were brought up, and every time these hit the airwaves, it gets into Congress, and, you know, when our legislators on Capitol Hill hear of the issues that come up with testing, non-testing results in lead in products or whatever it might be, that's just going to cause more legislation to come on, so we have to be on the lookout for that. And also, raw material costs were fluctuating quite a bit through 2012. What should we look at in 2013 as a carryover? Price pressures. Are there still price pressures from the recession hangover? I don't believe there are. I think, price is always going to be an issue, but I think it's driven more by clients that understand our business a whole lot better now than they used to, more than the actual recession and the hangover from that. Supplier inventory issues, is that going to be a problem in 2013? Don't think so. Many of the suppliers that we've spoken to have really ramped up inventory levels for 2013, so I think we're going to be okay there. E-commerce is going to continue to grow. E-commerce purchasing is going to continue to grow. We have to understand that our buyers out there are getting younger. A lot of the buying has gone to procurement departments, and in the purchasing departments, procurement departments, that buyer is a lot younger. So we have to understand that people are going to purchase product online, so we have to figure out ways to combat that or actually get in the game. It's a very expensive arena to be in, but we are going to continue to see that piece of the business growing throughout 2013 and beyond. The need for speed is more than ever. Our suppliers are turning product for us quicker than they ever have in the past, and our clients have taken notice, and they are asking for quicker speed. I think speed has now overtaken price for sure as the top need for clients today. And I think price is probably down at number three or four now. China labor and product safety issues, I touched on that a minute ago. We're just going to continue to see that. There's a labor deficit in China right now, and the factories just don't have the quality of workers there. So if you do have some overseas jobs that you're outsourcing in China, you just have to watch where that is going and who's actually doing it, because it's in a state of flux right now. U.S. government regulations are going to continue to change. A lot of I'm on a committee at PPI called GRAC, which is a watchdog for legislation in that's going to affect our industry. There are a lot of things happening in Congress as a new congressional group comes in, and it's relating to independent contractors versus employees. We're probably going to see some bills on the table that are going to make it a little bit harder to have independent contractors working for distributor companies, especially if they're defined and treated as an employee. So we're trying to fight that, but that's going to be an issue that's going to continue to be in Congress, and certainly a bill will come up for that. Same thing with safety. As the safety violations come up, we're going to see more and more along those lines. Procurement contracts reducing margins. I think you would all agree that if you're working with large Fortune 100, Fortune 500 companies, the procurement department is getting more in our way, more in the decision-making process, and that's driving margins down, and we need to find ways to combat that. So that's just a little reflection on 2012 and 2013. But overall, our business is changing. So the question is, are you changing with our industry as well? In my 27 years, I can tell you there are many, many people that I know who have moved along in the industry and are selling and reacting kind of the same way they were years and years ago. But those that are really on top of their game today and have grown both their sales and their professionalism over the many years, they've moved ahead with technology and all of the things that you just need to keep up on in order to have your A game out there. But I think you would all agree that we're living in more of a reactive environment, sales environment today, more so than proactive. And if you think about it, that's a bit of an issue. It's actually a double-edged sword. It's great that our clients are contacting us when they have projects that they need to be having us work on, and it's also great that they have promotional products in the budget. But the downside to that is it's caused so many distributors and distributor salespeople to really be reactive rather than proactive. So one of the challenges I would leave with you today as you head through 2013, and we'll get into a lot of these areas where you can be more proactive, but it is to think more proactive in 2013 and put some initiatives in your business plan that will cause you to act more proactive, so that the environment out there being reactive is not going to determine what your sales fate is at the end of the year. You need to be more in control, and the only way to do that is to really focus and realize that it's been reactive, need to be more proactive. Clients know our business a lot more, and we need to know theirs. Today, it's all about research. I would suspect that you all understand that to do cold calls today, to call and ask for a meeting with a C-level buyer or a marketing manager, somebody in the mid-level management, and not be prepared for the meeting is really a no-no today. So, you know, there's so many ways that you can research a company online with Google or however you like to research. Just make sure you understand a lot about the business before you get in to see them the first time, because that's what they expect and that's what your best competition is doing. Corporate America now understands our value. It wasn't until 1994 that Advertising Age magazine, which is a top magazine used by advertising agencies, even recognized promotional products as an advertising medium. Well, they sure do today, and that's why our industry is growing while many other forms of advertising are going backwards. We should all be proud of that fact. We should be talking about that fact, and we should be understanding why promotional products are growing in value to our clients, and be able to communicate that completely so that they understand that target marketing is really the way to go. And we should be taking budgets not from each other, but taking budgets from other forms of advertising. And there are great ways to do that. Setting yourself apart from the competition is more important than ever. I think you would all agree that, you know, in today's marketplace, you have to have your own unique value proposition. And you have to know what that means. You have to sell it. And you have to live it every day. And if you go out in general, sales in general, without a real niche or a value proposition that's unique to you, that's very easy for you to explain, you're probably going to have some competition out there that might be packaging themselves a little bit better than you are. So a few more things to talk about here, and then we'll get into some real meat and potatoes of what you might put into your business plan for 2013. The key is, are you the benchmark in your area, in your territory, or in the client, in the niche market that you call on? Are you the benchmark for others to follow, or are you kind of in the middle of the pack? Well, PPAI did a study on what clients really want. So this is direct from your clients on what they're looking for in their sales professional in the promotional products industry. And number one on the list was professionals that do what they promise. That's easy to determine, but I would go a step further and say you really need to under-promise and over-deliver. And in order to add proper value in today's marketplace, you really need to over-promise to your clients and over-deliver to them. And we'll get into some ways that you can actually do that in a few minutes. Need to understand their business and sell solutions. I know you've all heard that before. But it's not about the products. It's about understanding what their business is about. And I like to use the term of being an extension of their actual marketing team. And if you want to write that down, that's something that you can actually use in your presentation to prospects to say, you know, when they say, why should I buy from you? You can say, well, let me tell you what my clients tell me, and that is that they see me as an actual extension of their marketing team. And what that does for me is it puts me in their boardroom when they're having marketing meetings. Maybe not physically, but at least they're thinking about me and putting questions down that I can answer. So sell solutions by being seen from your customers as a real extension of their marketing team. Provide an ease of doing business. Some distributors and distributor salespeople make it a little more difficult than others to actually do business. That has to do with communications. It has to do with precise quotes and very easy to understand quoting systems and things like that. So make sure that even though you know what you're communicating, that your clients understand it very well, and you're always accessible. Meaning that if you're not available by your office landline, then you're certainly available by the cell phone. Honesty goes without saying, and offering a fair price. So you can see where what clients are saying, offering a fair price comes down about fifth. This is what they're saying that they actually want. So, okay, let's continue on. Here's something I'd like to just point out that you all should think about, whether you're a salesperson in this industry or whether you're a distributor owner. If you think about it, everybody that's in sales in this industry is very entrepreneurial. So I like to think of everybody that sells promotional products as really owning you incorporated. The problem with that is there are many salespeople in this industry that only think about the sales representative role in you incorporated. But if you think about it, the president of a corporation is the one that looks out 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, and determines where the company's, how the company wants to grow, where we want to grow, what is the company going to look like in 5 years. The sales manager reports up to the president and actually puts a plan together that will help the president achieve the goals. And so the manager is more the strategy of you incorporated. And then there's the salesperson that actually reports to the sales manager and does the actual functions to get the job done and reach the goal that the president wants. So if you think about your own sales business that way, whether you're, again, an independent salesperson or a sales distributor owner, think of your business this way and make sure that you're not just living the sales representative role and leaving out the sales manager and president. Let's talk about planning for success. We all know that here we are, the beginning of a new year. It's coming to the end of January, but we're all really getting started. I hope you've all planned a little bit for 2013, but if you haven't, I'd like to take you through some steps on some things that might help you out. The first step is to really understand your model of clients that you already have in your mix of business. And this is a very important point. The top producers in our industry really know that in order to plan for success every year, they need to look at their total account mix, and they need to prioritize them by A, B, and C accounts, and look at accounts that are the time wasters that might be C accounts that you really need to do away with. Maybe they get moved over to a brand new salesperson, or it's just accounts that you, for lack of a better term, fire them. Get rid of them and plan your business accordingly so that you have your best accounts and the accounts that are profitable to you moving forward in 2013. So why is that important? The key is we all have the same amount of hours in a day. We have the same amount of days in a week and weeks in a month. So it's since time is the only limitation we have, it's important that you have a package of business that's conducive for growth. And as I talk to salespeople all across the country, there are many people who really want to grow, but they have a package of sales clients that aren't conducive for growth. So you need to really look at that at the beginning of this year and make sure that you have that. So how do you make that happen? Well, the first thing is you have to look at what your sales level is and where you want it to go. And an observation that I've had over the years that I just wanted to share with you is that I have worked with a lot of million-dollar-plus producers and also people at $250,000, many below $250,000, but I'm doing a comparison here, and it's really just something that I've noticed, and that is that people who sell $250,000 and people who sell $1 million in this business, there is not a lot of difference that I've seen and actually the talent level between them. In other words, if I go on a sales call with a $250,000 producer and a $1 million producer, sometimes the $1 million producer will be more polished, but there's a finite amount of difference there. What I believe the big difference is aptitude. And what I describe as the aptitude in our business is doing the things that you know you really need to be doing, but maybe you're not organized enough to do them, or you're just leaving it out of your business plan because of a fear of failure, perhaps. But the $1 million and above producers, they're not afraid of failing, and they make sure that they put in their business plan all of the top things that make them a top seasoned professional. So, you know, it's just very interesting to realize that there's not a lot of talent difference, but it's all about the aptitude. So let's look at a successful package of business or plan of business that is still conducive for growth. When I started this business back in 1985, you know, it used to be that if you had a $300,000 package of business or a $500,000 package of business, that was a whole lot more than it is today. But it also meant that you had 300 or 400 accounts. It was just a whole different ball game back then. A lot of cold calling, a lot of, you know, product taken around in the trunk and so forth. Now it's completely different. Those days are gone, and so forth, and so on. The accounts that you have are different. So today, in a $500,000 package of business, as you can see here, this maps out 48 accounts that would be a good $500,000 package of business. That's totally different than the way it used to be. So when you map out your A, B, and C accounts and look at what you need for 2013, think about these models here and see if your current package of business is mapped to one of these. And if it's not, how can you get your mix of business in this realm? So you can see on the $500,000, you would have 3 accounts at $50,000, 5 accounts at $30,000, 10 accounts a year at $10,000, 10 at $5,000, and 20 at $2,500. That's a pretty good mix. It's a manageable mix, and it's also a mix of business that would allow you to still grow to that next level of $750,000 or $1 million or so forth. So, again, if you have your right now a package of business with 400 accounts, look at that and see which ones you might want to pan off to somebody else or pawn off to somebody else or perhaps get rid of those accounts for now. The next slide here is just something I wanted to share. This was an actual study that was done by the Corporate Executive Board. This was done in 2011, and they surveyed 85 companies in the marketplace. These were top sales companies, and they wanted them to describe their top salespeople in their company and what made them tick. And they came up with five different categories for top salespeople. And I'll let you read under these, but there was the hard worker, which is the grinder, goal-driven, attacks the numbers game every day. The lone wolf, every company has them, kind of the prima donna that goes to the, beats their own drum and works off of their own instincts. There's the challenger, and this is the salesperson who views the world differently. They tend to be more of a teacher, and they like to debate not only with their colleagues but also with clients about business. There's the relationship rep, and this is what you hear about in our industry a lot. It's such a relationship business, and this is the person that becomes a business friend to companies. They're trusted, and they build strong advocates within each office. And the problem solver. Out of all of these, there was one defined group that was 48% more successful than the rest. And when I do this presentation live and I ask people to tell me who they think that is, usually a good majority say the relationship rep, and others might say the problem solver. But this study showed that the challenger is the one that stands out and has the largest sales revenue within the organizations. And the reason for that is a shift in what we've seen and what clients really want today. And that is they want somebody who is a teacher and who is actually an educator. So what we're trying to say here, and this is something we're focused on very, very heavily at Halo, is teaching our sales team to be educators and educating a client into a sale rather than selling to the client. So think about that a little bit. And there's a great book that you can pick up out there called The Ultimate Selling Machine by Chet Holmes. And it explains this whole philosophy of what we call education-based selling. And education-based selling is all about educating your clients into a meeting of the minds type sale as opposed to selling product or selling a solution otherwise. So think about that. Pick up that book, and I think you would really see some great differences in how you might approach the business.
Dale, what was his name again?
His name was Chet Holmes. He actually travels around the country with Tony Robbins. Actually, he passed away just this last year, so he was traveling with Tony Robbins, but Chet got cancer and passed away just within the last couple of months. But he really was a great, great trainer who taught what I would call strategy as opposed to some of the motivation and hype that so many others do. But the education-based selling method is really something to look into. I would really encourage everybody to do that. As I mentioned in the very beginning, you know, one of the things I've been very fortunate of is to witness the traits of top producers that I've worked with for many, many years. And I kind of listed the David Letterman top 10 here, if you will, of things that really make top producers tick in our industry, and this is still true today. Some of these are longstanding, some are more unique to 2010, 11, 12, 13. But number 10 is understanding that prospecting is priority one. Prospecting is different today. There's no doubt about that. I talk to people all the time that say, I just don't cold call anymore. I still believe cold calling is important, and I believe that if you're not adding clients or prospects to your mix, that you're going to be going backwards eventually. But there are different ways to prospect today, especially with technology. We talked about researching prospects a little bit ago. And if you get the Chet Holmes book, he'll talk about building your dream 50 list. And that's something you can do with research, but that's a great thing to do this time of the year to figure out what your dream list is within your region, within the vertical market that you service across the country, and figure out exactly what you want to do to prioritize your prospecting methods, including building a marketing activity planner, what we call it a MAP, which is a marketing activity planner for the year on how to actually approach the different businesses that you want to go after. The second is understanding the difference between product selling and education-based selling. We talked about that a little bit, and I'd love to have a whole session just on education-based selling and what that means because it is so important to the understanding of what clients are looking for today, and it really does set you apart from the competition if you understand how to educate clients into a buying decision. Most top producers that I've seen aren't a sell-across-the-board type of salesperson. They have a niche, and so I would also recommend have a niche, find a niche, and become the expert at it. A good example here is I know of a salesperson who is very strong in the biomedical market and actually has on the business card medical marketing expert. So if you're an expert in a particular field, why have something such as account executive or promotional sales consultant or something like that as your title on the card? Why not have a couple sets of cards and actually put a different title on there for the different niche expertise that you have? So, you know, what are cards? $25 for $500? So if you are a medical marketing expert, put that on your card. You're a medical marketing expert, and that will resonate to that group that you're prospecting for. Get to know the best suppliers and how to use the individuals and the companies themselves. We have suppliers now that have fantastic websites that are improving every day. Many of them have really updated their websites heading into 2013, and you can look at real-time inventory levels, a lot of tools on there. But also, don't forget your supplier representatives in your area. Allow them to come on calls with you if they have a specialized line and actually help make the sale by educating the client along with them. So get to know your best suppliers, consolidate your suppliers into the very best ones that you have, and learn how to really use them very well. Understand how to create and protect your margins. That goes without saying. As we saw, price is not the number one thing. To be profitable today, you have to protect your margins, and there are many ways to do that. We'll talk about a couple in just a minute. Know your client and really listen to them. You've heard the old adage, we have two ears and one mouth. It's so important when meeting with clients, and top producers know that listening is so much more important than speaking to the clients. Understand the importance of value-added service. There are many ways in our industry that you can create and define value-added service, but I'll just give you an example. Many of you sell a lot of embroidery or apparel items with embroidery. Do you add an embroidered item on every single job that you do? And if the answer is no, I would say, why not? If you do 500 polo shirts for a client, why not also have a vest come in that matches the polos that's for the management team on the event that they might have? And you just embroider that at the same time. It might cost you $12 or $15 for a vest. The embroiderer is going to embroider it at the same time as the shirts, maybe even a couple different pieces, and just take that in along with the order that they ordered and say, you know, I took it upon myself to add this piece because I think it really complements what we're doing, and here's the idea that I had for using these. So that's one way, and there are other decorating methods in our industry where you can accomplish the same thing. A lot of our suppliers that do pad printing or hot stamping, things like that, where it's kind of a one-off printing proposition rather than the high-speed, high-run, they will take accent items of leather and different things, and they'll, if you simply ask, they will add those items onto the order. So it comes out to be sort of a live spec sample, if you will, that goes along with an order. So think of ways like that you can add value in the service that you provide. Another area is packaging, different ways, methods of packaging for your clients to consider that just a lot of people don't think about. Learn how to prepare and communicate professional quotes to close business. I touched on this a little bit earlier on the how to position yourself with your clients. I see salespeople that really don't communicate very well when it comes to projects and quotes. It's so important because many times the decision today is by committee, so you really have to make sure that your information in your quotes is very concise, very clear, and that's what will help you many times close the business as opposed to somebody else's offering that maybe wasn't as clear and easy to understand. Don't sell to clients. Be a valuable part of them. Again, I define it as being an extension of their marketing team, or another thing you might use as you describe your value proposition to clients and say, you know, I want to be your best unpaid employee. I want to be the most valuable unpaid employee that your company could ever have. I'm not on your payroll, but I am going to be a valuable unpaid employee to your company if you hire me to help you grow your business or help solve the problems that you have here. They set goals, have a winning attitude, and let nothing stand in their way. So those are some traits. Another thing that's very important this time of the year, switching gears a little bit, is to survey your clients. Some of you have probably done this, but I would bet the vast majority on this call have never taken the time to actually survey your clients. Let me tell you why this is so important, and especially this time of the year in January. We all know that it takes a lot to get a great account, but if you don't show the attention to them and make them feel like you really are on their side and want to learn all you can, you're going to have competition banging on that door, especially the better account, and is going to have the better salespeople calling on them. But one great way to get their attention and also get information that's so important to you is to survey the clients. This is one that we use, and again, be happy to make this available, maybe at the end if there's a way to get it to you. What it does is it talks about the services you provide. It talks about the preferred method of communication. So, you know, I've seen a lot of salespeople that may stop in to see clients many times, but the clients don't want them stopping in. Well, an easy way to do this is, or figure that out, is to have a survey that asks those pertinent questions. Would you rather I use email or call you on the phone or use another method? Some clients even want you to text them more today than anything else. So it's important to know that. And as you go down through here, as you look at it, there are many, many important things, including the possibility to get a referral and the percentage of business that you're actually getting from the client. Very useful information to find out. And what we found by doing a client survey is it's completely different than taking them out to lunch and saying, how am I doing? Because if you take them out to lunch or if you're in their office with them, even face-to-face, they're going to say, you're great, no problems, everything's fine. But is that how they really feel? We found that by doing a formal survey, the client is brutally honest on what they would like to see, and this is the best way to do it. So, again, very, very smart. And if you've used SurveyMonkey in the past, SurveyMonkey is an online tool that you can Google, and it's a great way to get out an electronic survey like this so you don't have to mess with paper or anything. You do it all electronically. So that's one of the things that I would really recommend that you do. Couple things you can do in 2013 to really grow your business, if you haven't done it already, is land some new opportunities. The first would be go after a corporate program. Some of you have the infrastructure in your company to land a corporate program. Others don't. But even if you're in a small distributorship where they don't have fulfillment and tools to build websites, those kinds of things for client programs, there are actually industry companies that actually can put these together for you and help. Maybe not with the fulfillment. Sometimes they can help with fulfillment, but there are a lot of ready-on-demand decorators for apparel and so forth that can help with corporate programs. But this is where the money is to be made. The great thing about a corporate program is the business is coming in every week without you actually having to write an order. It's business that's just generated off of the corporate program website. Land a co-op program. Think about co-op opportunities that are out there. A good example would be a co-op calendar program. Anything that has a unique designation on it for, let's just take insurance companies, if they're with a national insurance company, so each agent can do their own imprint with the national bug from the insurance company. Great way to land a very large program that's very profitable. There are many, many co-op programs that are available out there. Look for associations in your area or anywhere for that matter that would lend themselves to a co-op program. Very profitable. Start a referral program. Again, if you're uncomfortable asking for referrals, draft out a referral program similar to what you saw in the client survey. Draft a program where we did one called It's About Time. And we offered a Swiss Army watch for everyone who offered a referral, whether it's within their own company or another company, that ended up writing an order. They would get a nice Swiss Army watch. It was about a $30 watch for each person that gave a referral, but it's an easier way to ask for those referrals because you're actually handing out a formal piece that you can say, here, you know, I'm trying to grow my business here in 2013. If you'll help me, please hold on to this referral program and help me do that. Discover a new niche. We touched on that a little bit. But that's one another thing I would challenge everybody in 2013. If you've done certain things a certain way for many, many years and you've headed into 2013 doing things the same way that you've always done them, I would really encourage you to look for a new niche, something, and it could be a type of niche in our industry like service awards or points programs or something like that, or it could be a vertical market niche, whether it's medical marketing or the financial industry or associations or anything like that. But challenge yourself to pick up a couple of new niches that you become very good at and research them on how to be very good in those different areas. Some tips to reach your goals in 2013, become an expert in a new area. I just mentioned that on awards, recognition, safety programs, co-op programs. Again, if you go into 2013 thinking business is the same, you've got your clients, you're going to prospect a little bit, you're deciding in the back room at the water cooler that you're going to change some things up, that's really not good enough. You need to lay out a plan, and part of that plan is to say, I'm going to be an expert in these two areas in 2013, whatever they might be, and go after those two areas and learn how to be an expert in a couple of new areas for you. Learn the art of education-based selling. I know I keep talking about that, but it's what clients are looking for today. It's not about the product, and I think you all know that. We end up selling products, but if the sale that you're making out there is about the product itself, I think you all know that that's just not the way to get a long-term loyal relationship with a client. They really are not in it for the products. It's just a means to get their message, the vehicle, solve problems for them. So understand education-based marketing, and the Chet Holmes book, The Ultimate Selling Machine, will help you do that. Have a grab-and-go kit handy at all times. I said cold calling is a little passe these days. Yes and no. I still like the idea of dropping in the brick and mortar of a new business that you drive by every day and think, I really need to be calling on that business. Well, one way that'll cause you to pull into the driveway and make that call is to have a grab-and-go kit, something very light. Maybe it's couple leave-behind brochures, your corporate company brochure, a folder that you take notes in, your business cards, whatever it is, whatever's handy for a grab-and-go kit, whatever you typically would cold call with now, always have it in your passenger seat so that you don't drive by those companies you want to call on someday. You'll actually pull in and make the call because you have everything there with you. I highly recommend that you do that. Get involved in some different trade shows and speaking opportunities out there. One thing I would really recommend is, you know, most people, when they think of exhibiting your company and offerings at a trade show, you're thinking, what are the top industries that purchase promotional products, and how do I get into those trade shows? I would say look for something completely different, something so off the wall that you wouldn't think anybody would be thinking about promotional products in there. Good example is I did an aviation trade show with some of our sales group this last year, and it was amazing. It had huge companies, Boeing and Pratt & Whitney and all these companies that spend tons of money in promotional products, but we were the only promotional company there because it was so niche-oriented, most companies wouldn't even have thought of exhibiting there. So look for those opportunities rather than the obvious opportunities when you get involved in trade shows. Here's my number one nugget out of the entire presentation, though, and that is do 5 spec samples every single week religiously throughout the year. Have a place in your a space set aside in your office that you're doing spec samples every week, and do a minimum of 5. Why? Because they drive business. The reason suppliers give us free spec samples, if it's a well-thought-out idea for clients, it's going to turn into a sale. So if the percentage is 3 out of 5 are going to turn into a sale, I bet none of you on this call could give me any reason why a minimum of 5 spec samples every single week shouldn't be done week in, week out. The difference is I think everybody believes you need to do them, and maybe some of you are doing them very, very well, but most people don't plan out time in their business plan to do it. So what I'm saying is Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, if you designate that as your spec sample time, carve that out on your calendar. Don't set appointments during that time and have that part of your business plan. Organize your office and develop a system of business for weekly activities. Kind of goes along with the 5 spec samples. Other things that you can do for marketing, follow-up calls, and so forth. Organize your office so that you're set up for the right activities each week. Provide value-added service to your clients. We talked about a couple ways to do it. Think of other ways that you can provide value-added service and stick to it. Build a prospecting plan that works for you, and just have it be an ongoing plan week in, week out. Build marketing materials, whether it's mailings, whether it's electronic prospecting. Put a prospecting plan together and follow it religiously. And here's another important one. Find a success partner somewhere in our industry, not a management person with your company, but another salesperson, maybe not even with your existing company, with somebody else, that you can challenge each other week in, week out as a success partner to hold each other accountable. And that's one way to lay out your goals each week and then have a Friday call and have you challenge each other. It's really a fun way to do it. A lot of our team partners that way, and they challenge each other each week, and it really does work if it's account executive to account executive. Just a couple more slides here, and then we'll open it up for a few questions. A few facts to consider as you look at 2013. I can tell you from history that if I look at all salespeople, it's almost without fail that those who start with gains in the year will end with gains, and I'm talking about sales gains. So as you build that goal sheet and have your plan, you know what your number is at 12/31 in 2013, I can tell you that here we are at the end of January. I hope you're all off to a great start with gains already, but if you're not, make sure you catch up and get ahead of the game in February, because I don't know why it works this way, but those of you that have been in the industry for quite a while, I think you would agree that your best years started out as great years. Your worst years started out slow. So start with great gains, and you're going to end with great gains. If you're not adding new business, you're going backwards. It's so easy to get caught up in our existing clients. We've talked about a lot of things today with prospecting and different ways to prospect and how to attract new business. Use them. You figure out a way to go after new business that you want to put into your business plan, and prospect. Prospect heartily. If you're not adding value, you're losing business. Figure out new ways that you can add value to your client so that your client will actually say to yourself and to others that this person not only does what I ask them to do, but they under-promise and almost always over-deliver. That's how you're going to get your referrals, too. Try new things. Try some new things. It gets back to that aptitude of those that are kind of mid-level producers and those that are top producers. It certainly doesn't hurt, and there's nothing wrong with failing when you try new things. But if you start a new year and you're doing the same things you've always done, then you can almost calculate what the results are going to be. So try some new things. Put some new strategies in your business mix, some things that we've talked about today perhaps, and try some new avenues for new business. If you don't know where you're going, you're going to get there with no problem. That's an age-old saying, and it's so true. It's just so important right now in January 2013 that you get your mindset to have a business plan during the year that is going to get you to where you want to go. There are so many salespeople and even distributor companies in this industry that start out the year saying, boy, I hope it's going to be a great year. Just can't do it. That's not going to get it. You have to lay out a plan and actually build a marketing activity planner that's going to get you to the results on 12/31/13, or it's just not going to happen. It might happen, but it's going to happen with some luck along the way if you're not actually mapping it out and playing it out. So think of those things. And finally, I'll just end with tomorrow's a new day. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you always got. That's one of my favorite sayings, and I think it's so true at the beginning of a year, is just to think of new things, think of new strategies, think of ways that you can grow. And my hope for all of you is that 2013 is your best year ever. I really love helping distributors and distributor salespeople, even people not on our team. I just really enjoy helping people reach their goals and reach for the stars, and I just look forward to that opportunity every year. So that's one of the reasons I do this, and I'm happy that Halo sponsors this as well. But I want to thank Promo Marketing again for allowing me to do this presentation. I hope that you've picked up a couple of nuggets out of the presentation that you can implement into your business plan, and again, that 2013 is your best year ever. And so with that, Nikki, I think I'll turn it back to you and see if we have some questions.
We do indeed, Dale. You covered a lot of ground in a short amount of time, and folks have been very engaged. One of the questions that we had here was about educational selling, and they just wanted a brief example of what that would mean as opposed to product selling. How could you describe that process?
Well, let me tell you what educational-based selling is all about. It's all about building a story for your company or for your unique selling proposition that is it does a lot of things. It's a little complicated. The book will tell you. It's hard to say in a couple of minutes, but I'll try. A good example, and the book brings this point too, is if you were standing on the 50-yard line in a stadium and you had an entirely filled crowd and they were able to get up and walk out at the beginning of your presentation at any time if you didn't keep them riveted in their seats, what could you say to keep them in their seats from the very start all the way to the end of your presentation if they were told it's a sales presentation? So the key is you need to figure out ways to educate your client, and one of the ways to do that is talking about our industry. And what we do is we have an entire presentation built on advertising in general, trends that have been happening in advertising over the last couple centuries, and how advertising is changing. And the presentation is kind of like a funnel that brings them from radio, TV, newspaper, what's been happening there, down to targeted marketing and where that's where companies are spending their dollars today. And then it gets down to promotional products and how promotional products are the best form of targeted marketing, which by that time they understand through this educational method that promotional products are certainly the best way to get your message out there, best bang for the buck. And so it's a whole funnel that goes down that way. And then finally it ends up with things that you can talk about that are very important that are going on right now. And some of the things we key in on are product safety. It's great to educate your clients on product safety issues. We're not afraid to talk to clients about the Shrek glass at McDonald's and what happened there, the lunchbox in California with the lead-based paint, those kinds of things, and educate them on what that should mean to their business. And if they don't have their back covered by the people that are currently selling to them, they need to, and how to make that happen. So, you know, that's one way to do it is looking at advertising overall, but there are many ways to educate your client, and I can do a whole other topic on that at another time, I think.
Okay, great. And then we had a slew of questions about spec samples from new distributors who don't know what they are at all,
okay,
to what's the best amount of time to send those out. Could you just address spec samples in a little more detail?
Spec samples is short for speculative samples, and really what it is an idea that you have that is actually going to be a product that's completely decorated and made for your prospect or client. You have an idea for your client for this particular padfolios, some creative things on the inside, on the front, some insert sheets that could be put in, whatever it might be, and you get that idea to the supplier, and they will make one sample for you to present to the client. So, and if there's a good idea behind that actual sample, it ends up being a sale. So it's a visual, actual product sample already decorated for the client, and you can also do virtual samples as well, where suppliers will send you just a virtual example of what the product will be. The reason I like the live spec samples is if you think about it, if you do five of them a week, then you can forget you did them, even though there's a great idea behind them. And then when UPS comes and delivers those spec samples to your door, you have an instant appointment, an instant sales presentation to go out to every one of those clients or prospects and say, you know what, I made something up for you that I think you'd really be interested in based on some information that you provided to me on our last visit, and I'd like to come by and show you what I've put together. They love it, and if there's a good idea behind what you've put together, it's going to end up being a sale.
And you would use those for new and existing clients, correct?
Yes, top prospects and existing clients, yes.
Perfect. And then you mentioned something about protecting margins, and we had a distributor ask the question of how do you go about doing that, how to protect your margins.
Very, very important question and a very good question. Obviously, margins are the driving force for any distributor or salesperson in this industry because that's where we make our money. If you're in this business and you're a price distributor, you're not going to survive very long. We all know that. So you have to protect your margins no matter what your sales volume level is. And different ways to do that are different things you can do, offering services along with a job that other competitors don't even think about. A good example would be custom packaging, things that aren't easily priced out. So if somebody is asking you for a quote on a particular project or an item, rather than just quoting that particular item, think of a little better mousetrap that may not cost more, but could really be a much better solution for the client. Even if the item itself might cost a little bit more, but your idea is so great, you can have more margin in each one of the jobs that you propose by using special packaging. Another, obviously, is overseas. I don't know, you know, a lot of the people on this call, I'm sure, have done some business overseas with brokers or the actual suppliers in our industry, which we favor. But you really have to know what you're doing, but that's another way to land, you know, get your clients to think ahead enough that you have the lead time to bring things in from overseas, protect your margins there. And also find unique, hard-to-find items, even some items that aren't even in the industry that might be a little bit unique, and become a specialist with some of those things. If you're selling programs, you're always going to protect your margins because it's hard to sell against programs. If you're selling items, then it's a commodity, and it's very hard to protect your margin.
Right. What would you suggest as a lead time for overseas sourcing?
It's shortening all the time, and we're going to continue to see that shortening. But right now the standard is 90 days, including a sample that's delivered for sign-off on the actual sample. But, around 90 days by ship. But it's a date that you can't commit to so much. That's why you need a lot of lead time from your clients.
Right. And in terms of landing that first meeting with a larger client, do you have any advice on how to get that first meeting with them?
Well, absolutely. You know, certainly the top accounts out there, they have the best competition that can be in an area. They have the best competition calling on them, or they're probably happy with a couple of people that they're dealing with. So how do you actually get in front of a very top client that feels that they have somebody? And the key is, and I'll summarize it first, and that is that they have to get a feeling by your value proposition that if you're not a part of the equation, whether they're going to buy from you or not, if you're not a part of the equation, then they are really missing out on something. So I like to use third-party stories. You know, when I would coach talking to a new client, they would say, well, I'm happy with somebody that I'm already doing business with. You know, why would I entertain an appointment with you and allow you to come out? And I think one of the keys is to use a third-party story and say, well, that's a very good question, and I think the best way to answer that is to tell you maybe what my clients say to me. And that is that my clients truly see me as an extension of their own marketing team, and they see me as a very valuable unpaid employee to their company. So I know what I do. I know I'm very good at what I do. I have a lot of experience, and I sell solutions. I don't sell product. I sell solutions that help companies increase sales, solve problems, or drive traffic. And, you know, I can do that for your company as well. But in order to do that, I need an opportunity to show you and get a challenge so that I can show you what I do. So, you know, I'd use those two statements as much as you can, as to be an extension of the marketing team, and you want to prove to them why you are seen that way by your existing clients, and that your clients say that, you know, I'm a great unpaid employee or resource to their company.
Excellent. And I think the last question that we have time for today would be your best advice for the distributor who's just entering into the industry, that new person who just landed.
A newbie into the industry. First of all, the industry is completely different today than it used to be. And I would say, unfortunately, and forgive me if I'm offending anybody with this, but the barriers to entry, I think, are far too low for our industry today. It used to be a little harder to get into the industry, but it is what it is. So we have a lot of people coming in with varying degrees of expertise. I would say research and learn first. Understand, meet with people in the industry who will help you before you even attack the marketplace, and understand what clients are looking for out there. If you're selling product today, or if you're coming into this industry thinking there are over 500,000 different products that I can sell to businesses out there, that's the wrong way to look at this industry. This is an industry of actual solutions. So think of yourself as an agency as opposed to a promotional product distributor. I don't even like using the word product in it because we're really not about the product. But take an agency approach, fake it till you make it. And by that, I mean sound confident when you are talking to new prospects, and sound like you really know what you're doing. And then I kind of call it jumping in the deep end and find your way out the shallow end. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with doing that. I think the most successful people in a lot of industries today have that philosophy that I may not be as seasoned as many people, but you know what? I'm going to certainly fake it until I make it, and I'm going to research until I know that I'm the best. So I would say good luck to all of those new people coming into the business. It's a great industry. You'll love it, but it may not be as easy as you once thought getting into it.
Right. And the sales planners and the goal sheets, those things are available to folks if they
are. And if it's okay, Nikki, I'll just say my email address is dale.limes@halo.com. So if anybody wants the goal sheet or that I had on there, or the client survey. And the reason I'm doing it is I do this live when I present at the shows, mm-hmm. and a lot of people just write on their business card, I would like a copy of that or whatever. I'd be happy to get that out. There are a lot of people on this call, so it may take a little while to get it out to everybody, but if you're interested, I'd be happy to get copies out to you. I don't think there's anything proprietary in our goal sheet and in a client survey as well.
Okay, yeah, we had lots of requests for that. And this webinar will be archived for 90 days, so it will be available. So if you want to refer friends or colleagues, we had lots of requests for that as well. It will be available for 90 days post today's live event. Dale, thank you so much for your time today. If we did not get to your questions, they will be addressed, and it looks like we are just about out of time. So on behalf of Promo Marketing and Halo Branded Solutions, I want to thank everybody for attending today's webinar. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get all the information on our archived and upcoming webinars in the future. And we hope to see you back here again for the next Promo Marketing webinar. Thank you.